Absolute at Large by Karel Čapek. Translated by David Wiley. Performed by Francis Bass. Chapter 30. The End. Many years passed, and in an inn in Damohorskik sat Mr. Breek, the engineer, reading the newspaper. He was now a successful locksmith.
"Nice fry-up coming up soon," announced the landlord as he stepped out from the kitchen.
"And look who it is! It's Jan Binder, who had been the owner of the roundabout. He's fatter now, and he's not wearing his stripy shirt anymore, but it's certainly him."
"Plenty of time," says Mr. Breek slowly. "Father Yosht isn't even here yet. Razek, the newspaper editor, he's not here yet either."
"And what about Mr. Kazinda? How's he now?" Mr. Binder asks.
"Well, you know about him. He's getting slowly worse all the time. A very decent man, that is, Mr. Binder."
"Well, yes," thought the landlord. "I don't know. Mr. Breek, how about if I give some of these sausages and you take them round to him? They're really nice, they are, so if you wouldn't mind."
"I'd be glad to, Mr. Binder. And I'm sure he'll be glad you've thought of him."
"Yes, I'd be glad to."
Just then a cry of "Praise the Lord!" was heard from the doorway, and Father Yosht, his face made fresh and ruddy by the frost, came in and hung up his hat and his fur coat.
"Good evening, Reverend," Mr. Breek replied cheerfully. "We've been waiting for you."
Father Yosht pursed his lips with joy and rubbed his stiff fingers.
"What's in the papers, Mr. Breek? What have they got to say?"
"I'll read it straight out to you. The President of the Republic has appointed the youthful lecturer and private tutor, Dr. Blahosh, to the position of Professor Extraordinary."
"Do you remember, Reverend, that's the same Dr. Blahosh who wrote about Mr. Kazinda that time?"
"Ah, yes, yes," said Father Yosht, polishing his glasses. "He's a non-believer, you see. All those university people are non-believers. And you're a non-believer yourself, Mr. Breek."
"Well, I'm sure you're praying for us, Father," put in Mr. Binder. "He wants us to go to heaven so that we can play cards with him."
"Two and one, then, Father."
"Of course, two and one."
He opened the door into the kitchen and shouted,
"Two sausage and one black pudding."
"Good evening," grunted Razek, the editor, as he entered the pub. "It's really cold out there."
"Evening," Mr. Binder responded. "Got a great bunch in tonight."
"What's new, then?" asked Father Yosht. "What's come into the newsroom? I used to read the papers when I was a lad, too, you know."
"Blahosh even mentioned me in the papers once in those days," said Mr. Breek. "I cut it out, and I've got it somewhere. The Apostle of the Cult of Kazinda, or something like that, he wrote about me. Yes, those were the days."
"Here's dinner," Mr. Razek declared. Mr. Binder and his daughter were already bringing the sausages to the table. They still sizzled and blew foamy bubbles of fat as they lay on their rich bed of cabbage, like a Turkish odalisque on his cushions. Father Yosht smacked his lips loudly and cut the first gorgeous slice.
"Here you are, then," he said to Mr. Breek.
Mr. Razek agreed when it was his turn.
"Binder, you've done us proud," said the preacher in gratitude.
All was quiet, as all of them were united in their appreciation.
"Mace," Mr. Breek said. "I love the flavor of mace.
Shouldn't put too much in, though."
"No, but this is just right. You need some nice crackling on the skin, too."
And they were all silent again.
"And the cabbage should be nice and white, too."
"Down in Moravia," said Mr. Breek, "they make cabbage into a sort of mush. I used to work down there. Almost liquid it is."
"Don't like the sound of that," said Father Yosht in surprise. "You need to strain cabbage before you serve it. That can't be right. You can't eat cabbage like that."
"Well, they do eat it like that. Eat it with a spoon, they do."
"That sounds horrible," the preacher shuddered. "They're strange people down in Moravia. All you need for cooking cabbage is a bit of grease. That's right, isn't it, Mr. Binder? I can't understand why anyone would want to do it any other way."
Mr. Breek thought for a little while and said,
"I suppose it's like religion, really. One man can't understand how another could believe in something different either."
"Don't talk rubbish," Father Yosht defended himself. "I'd as soon start believing in Mohammed as start eating cabbage like that. It stands to reason all you need to do with cabbage is cook it in a bit of grease."
"And what about faith? Doesn't that stand to reason?"
"Oh, faith, yes, it does," said the preacher decisively. "But none of those other religions do."
"So now we're back where we were before the war," said Mr. Breek with a sigh.
"People are always the same as they always used to be," put in Mr. Binder. "It's just like Mr. Kazinda always said. Binder, he says, no truth is worth fighting over. Listen, Binder, he says, that god we had back on the dredger, he wasn't such a bad god. And the one you had on the roundabout, he wasn't bad either. But they still both disappeared. Everyone thinks his god is best of all, but he can't believe somebody else who thinks he's got a god that's just as good. First of all, you have to believe in people, and all the rest will follow. That's what Mr. Kazinda says. Well, yes, thought Mr. Breek. Someone might think someone else's faith is bad, but he shouldn't suppose that means he's a bad person, or that he's crude or dishonest. That's just politics. It gets into everything.
And that's why so many people hate and kill each other, put in Father Yost. The stronger a person's faith is, the more he'll get all excited about it and despise those who don't share it. The strongest faith is faith in people.
Everyone seems to think very highly of mankind, but not about individual men. I'll kill you, but I'll save mankind. And that's not good, Reverend. It'll be bad for the world if people don't start believing in people.
Mr. Bender, said Father Yost thoughtfully, perhaps you'd be so kind as to prepare some of this cabbage in the Moravian style for me tomorrow. I think I would like to try it.
First you have to fry it very quickly, and then you steam it. Then you eat it with sausages, and it's really good. There's something good in every faith and in every truth, even if it's only that someone somewhere likes it.
The outside door opened, and a policeman came in. He was very cold and wanted a glass of rum.
Ah, Constable Hrushka, nice to see you, said Breek. Where have you been?
Out in Zhizhkov, the policeman told him as he took off his enormous gloves. Had to carry out a raid.
And what were you looking for?
Couple of rough characters, couple of villains. And at number 1006, down in the cellar, we found a din.
A din? What sort of din? Razek asked.
A carburetor din, Mr. Razek.
They had a little carburetor there, from an old motorbike from before the war. All the lowlife were going there and holding orgies.
Orgies? What sort of orgies?
Well, getting up to mischief. Praying and singing and having visions, making prophecies they were, performing miracles, all that sort of thing.
Is that not allowed, then?
No. The police have forbidden that sort of thing. They're no different to opium dens, really, you see.
There was another of these dens down in the old town. That's 7 of these carburetor dens we've dug out so far. Used to attract all the riffraff they did, all the tramps and the whores and such like. That's why we had to ban them, see? It was a breach of public order.
Are there many of these carburetor dens, then?
Not any more, there aren't. I think that what we got today was the very last carburetor.
This recording is under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike license. Music was composed by Johan Halvorsen and performed by the United States Marine Band. The book was written by Karel Čapek, translated by David Wiley, and performed by Francis Bass.